Number 32, Exodus in chapter number 32, and again had a good trip. It was an eye-opening experience in some ways. Of course, I was a 03 grad from Heartland, and being back there this last week. And I was, of course, encouraging young men. Hey, we have churches in the Northwest that are wanting to bring up interns. Not all those pastors could even be there last week, but wanting to bring up summer interns and to be able to invest in them and then for them to see the need out here. And so that was one of the things we were encouraging. If you're interested in us getting your name into the hands of one of these pastors, we need your information. And ask to give us their information. So I had one young man came up to me. I was sitting in between classes. I think it was after classes were over. It was lunchtime or something. He came up to me and he said, "Yeah, I'd be interested in doing an internship." I said, "Okay, great. Well, write your information down." And he's sitting there writing his name and his email and his phone number. And he said, Brother Josh, he said, "When did you say you graduated from school?" I said, "I graduated in 2003. And he said, "That's funny. That was the year I was born." And we don't have any clue what's happened to that kid's information. And he died the death. I tell you, that was terrible. That was if you're doing a job interview, don't make foolish statements like that. That was not appreciated information that we gleaned there this week. But that's how long I've been out of school, was to see kids that weren't even born yet before I graduated. Amen. So, and there were some of them there. That's awesome. Some of the people we went to school with have kids in college now, and that just makes my wife elderly. Amen. So, and I guess me as well now. All right. Exodus in chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 32. If you would stand with me in honor of the Word of God this morning, and I want to give attention to the Word of God and make sure it is preeminent. We're going to read the first nine verses of this chapter, and trust that the Lord will use it in our hearts this morning. It says in verse number 1, it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and they brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is the feast is a feast to the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which would mean that he was referring to Jehovah. After he fashioned a golden calf, he said, "Listen, we're going to feast unto Jehovah," was his excuse. And many times we blame things on God that God has no part of. Right? And that's exactly what Aaron was doing. It says, "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offering and brought peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." And it sounds about how children prioritize, right? Eat and play. That's how they prioritize their days and their time and their effort. Eat and play. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go. Get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." It's interesting, just observation here. In verse number 1, the children of Israel wanted to raise up. And in verse number 7, where God had brought Moses up, now God had to send Moses down, right? And when we raise ourselves up, listen to me, before God, he's going to have to bring us low. So God raised Moses up. He had to send him back down. Verse number 8 says, "And they turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. It's a stiff-necked people. Title of this Mormon sermon is this, God's plan is worth the wait. And that's the official title. A better title, I think, my wife didn't agree with me that last week when I was talking to her about this, but when God's plans take too long, yours still stink. I think that's a better title. When God's plan takes too long, your plans still stink. They aren't good. We think our plans are just awesome, but they still stink if they're not God's plans. God's plans are worth the wait. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word. I pray that you just, Lord, would allow us that our hearts would be, Lord, not given to the cares of this life, not given to the burdens that might be born right now, Lord. There are certainly burdens being born in this room. But Lord, I pray that you just would allow us that we might be able to give attention to your word, that your spirit would move in a mighty way, and God, that you might be able to be glorified, and that your word would fall upon fertile ground. And then Lord, that we would be ready to give an answer, Lord, and to respond as you would speak to us, Lord God. We pray that you would, Lord, help us to learn to respond when you speak, and God, that you'd be glorified in this body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. God, of course, has been doing a work in the lives of the children of Israel, and we read and pointed out as we were reading in verse number 6 that their priorities were still childlike, that the way they acted was still childlike, and they had a great impatience that was to them, even though, just within months of this time and the period that we are in, I mean, if you go back a few chapters to chapters number 19 and chapters number 20, God had already pulled them out of the land of Egypt, and they went out very victoriously. They went out of the land of Egypt with the great blessing of God upon them, and God has brought them unto Mount Sinai, and God begins to talk to them and converse with them, and God begins to give them His law, and God begins to tell them what they are to do and how they are to live. And in chapter number 20, when He distinctly gives them the Ten Commandments, and He says, "Are you willing to keep this law?" And listen, the people together, they came together and said, "Yes, we will keep the law of God." You can go read it in chapter number 20. And then God begins to outline for them in chapters number 21, 22, 23, and up until chapter number 24, how it is that they're to keep that law and what some certain specifics in the law really mean and what they really are about. And that's what God begins to outline for them. And then in chapter number 25, or at the end of chapter number 24 and into chapter number 25, God says this, "Listen, I want Moses to come up here on the mount with me, and I'm going to begin to share with him how my plan is that I'm going to come down and dwell among you." That was God's plan. That was God's purpose and design. Not that he just had a law that he was given them and that he was going to be separated from them as far as the heavens are from the earth. No, that was not God's plan. God said, "Listen, I have a law, and I'm gonna not only just give you a law, I am going to come down and dwell among you so that you might know it is with power." Amen. You say, "Well, what's that mean?" It's kind of like there is a law that's given by the state of Washington way over there in Olympia, and you are reminded of it when you go speeding, and there is a police officer that just happens to be in the general vicinity that you were in. Come on. God said, no, I have a law, and guess what? It's not going to be a law that I am separated from you from. It's not going to be that I have things that I desire for you to do, and I'm not going to have any kind of presence in your life. No, I'm going to be down and present, and you are going to know where I am, and you're going to know where I dwell. And God desired for them to know that so they understood how important His law was, that He came down and dwelt among them, and He was going to do that by means of a tabernacle, and We've been talking about the tabernacle for weeks now as we started in chapter number 25. And we've been talking about all the different things that are in the tabernacle and the pieces of furniture that are there. And every one of them is a picture of who Christ is. And every one of them points to who Christ is. And it's a portrait of Christ. And so he talks about the furniture of the tabernacle. He talked about the ministers that are in the tabernacle. He's talked about the odors that are in the tabernacle. And every little bit of it and every intricate detail of it, all of it was to point to the reality that God is holy and that God is in our midst and that God wants us to know who He is and know where His presence resides. And praise the Lord, we can still know that today. Because God designed it that He was going to send out His Spirit and dwell in tabernacles and temples made of flesh. And He's going to put His Spirit there. And God's design and purpose and plan is that we would know Him. It was that way in the Old Testament. It is that way today. God wants men to know that He is. And God wants to have a personal relationship with mankind. Not just with mankind, may I make it even more personal. God wants to have a personal relationship with you, sir. And with you, ma'am, and with you, teenager, and with you, young child. God wants to have a personal relationship with every individual on the face of this earth. He wants to abide with mankind. He desires to do that. Everything God was doing and He was investing in Moses and He was giving him a plan and He was telling him, listen, this is how it's going to unfold and this is what's going to take place. And before he... before he left his presence, we looked at this last week in chapter number 31. Before he ever left, he said, now remember, you need to go down and you remind the children of Israel that I have made a covenant with them and that I have a rest for them and that I've given them a sign. And I want you to understand that it is holy, Moses. And I want you to go and remind them of that. I want you to go and remind them their need of me. That's everything was about, was for them to understand how they had a need of Him. I'll just say this that we could understand, that as we will show forth God in our lives and we'll show forth the holiness of God in our lives and we'll show forth Christ in us, the hope of glory, listen to me, men will recognize their need of Him and they'll recognize the thing that they are lacking and the thing that they are missing is that they do not have the presence of God in their lives. But if we're not interested in showing forth the holiness of God, and most Christianity is not. Listen, if we're not interested in showing forth that God is in control and that God is sovereign and that, listen, and that His commands are to be followed, if we're not willing to show that in our lives, the reality is that this, that men will not be drawn unto Christ. God desires to use your life and is an example of what it is to have Him come down and to dwell among men. He desires to use it in that way, friend. And listen, everything God was giving Moses was to provide this a perfect picture of who Christ was. And everything that God does in your life is as well to provide a perfect picture of who Christ is. He's holy. Desires for us to paint a picture of who He is. And so Moses has been up on this mount for 40 days and 40 nights. No, since the end of chapter number 24. Moses has been up with God on a mount for 40 days and 40 nights. And God has been doing some miraculous things. And for 40 days and 40 nights, as God has been meeting with Moses, there have been thunderings and lightnings, and there's been a cloud there that would be representative of who God is. And all they know is Moses left us. He walked up into that cloud where God is, and we have not seen Him. And in the midst of that taking place, we get to verse number 1 of chapter number 32. And the children of Israel have, they've just been sitting there waiting. I mean, God hasn't moved. God has not changed. And Moses is still up there. And the work of God is going forward. And the plan of God is unfolding. And yet for 40 days, sometime within that period of time, in that midst of that 40 days and the 40 nights that Moses was up there on the mountain, and Moses, it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 32, delayed. I mean, it was just taking a little long. It was just taking a little bit more time than they anticipated. I mean, what in the world could be going on up there? We don't even know what's happened. He's gone up into this cloud. We don't even know where he is. What could be happening? And they're delayed down there. And they're kind of getting a little, come on, antsy. And they're kind of wondering, man, what's going on? And when's he coming back? And what is it that God is doing? And what really is going on? And you kind of can look at him and go, man, I can't believe they got to what they did. And they went right back into that idolatry so soon. But listen to me. There was, while God was doing some great things, they had no idea what Moses was experiencing up on the mountain. They literally had no idea why they could have stopped. And I'm telling you, if they could have gone back and they could have said, man, if I knew that was what God was doing, I mean, then I think I could have waited a little longer. If I would have had an understanding of what God was really truthfully doing, I think I could have just held out just a little bit longer. But understand with me, these were people that were in great influx at the time. In their personal lives, there were some great changes. And they've gone from, being in servitude and being slaves, and God has pulled them out, and now they're in the wilderness and kind of unto their own selves, and there's nobody telling them what to do any longer. In fact, the guy that was leading them is now gone, and so there were some great changes in their lives, and they were now living as a nomadic people, and they were in tents, and I'll just tell you, that's stressful. I mean, they're now having to, you know, go out and get their own food. And I know God was providing it for them, but they were having to take themselves and go out and get the food. And they were having to go through all the different aspects and that traveling and in the wilderness and living in tents, all that you had to entail. I'll tell you, I don't like living out of a suitcase. I mean, staying at the Holiday Inn Express. I mean, come on, that's camping for me. And friend, listen to me. That can grow old after a month or two. Just living out of a suitcase and not having stability in our life and not knowing where we're going and not knowing when we're going to get to where we don't even know where we're going. Come on. That can be stressful. That can be difficult. And so we'd understand they were people just like we're people. And just like I like to have some security in my life, so they wanted to have some security in their lives. And just like I like to know where I'm going, so did they. And so as Moses delayed up on the mountain, even though God was giving him a miraculous plan, and even though God had all the things that they needed planned out, and it was, I'm telling you, it was going to be wonderful, Moses delayed. Moses hasn't come down yet. And so they say, listen, we need to wake up Aaron. Aaron is second in charge. We could say that. He's kind of second in command, even though they didn't even know that yet. Aaron was the high priest, and God was going to use Aaron, but they didn't even know that yet because Moses hadn't come down and told them what God's plan is. So they look to Aaron and say, listen, we don't know what's happened to this Moses. And Aaron said, listen, break off your earrings and bring them to me. And he began to fashion them and to grave them, and he made a molten calf. And it's very clear in our text that he did it with his own bare hands. And we understand, if you're a student of Scripture at all, when Moses came down to question him here a little while later and says, what in the world are you doing? Who made this golden calf? How did this even happen? And remember his excuse? Well, we just took the gold and we threw it in the fire, and poof, out came this golden calf. I mean, it was a miracle of the Lord, and that's exactly who he blames on what they're doing, isn't it? This is the Lord. This is what we're going to do, is we're going to break off our earrings, and we're going to fashion this golden calf, and we're going to gather around, and we're going to worship this golden calf. And so he says, it's interesting. I missed this. But before they do that, go back to verse number 1. Up, make us gods that shall go before us. Now listen, friend, listen to me. God hasn't moved. And here's even greater. They didn't even know where they were going. They were just tired of waiting on God. They were just tired of waiting on God. Moses is delayed. This is taking too long. We're going to make us our own gods. And there were gods that even Aaron even said, listen, this is what's going to take place. In verse number 5, it says, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah, to the Lord. This is how we're going to worship God now. Because God's taking too long. Because God isn't moving at our speed. He's moving at his own speed. He's doing things His way. He's not doing things our way. And we don't even know where we're going. And we don't know what's going on. And we don't know where Moses is. And we don't know what God's program is yet. But what, this is the way we're going to live our lives and pattern our lives. When they had no clue how life was to be patterned. No, come on, come on. They had no understanding of what the worship of God was truly to look like, yet they determined that they were going to fashion gods of their own hand, and they were going to fashion gods of their own mind, and they were going to blame it on God, and they were going to do it their own way. Instead of God's way, because they were not willing to wait for God's plan to come to pass. God wants me to follow His plans. God needs to move a little quicker. And the gods that they created were not like Jehovah God, who said, listen, you're not supposed to make any graven images. And they said, yeah, we'll not make any graven images. And you're not going to have any gods before me. And they said, yeah, we're not going to have any gods before. Come on. The gods of Egypt, the God Jehovah was not like the gods of Egypt. The gods of Egypt were of the mind of men, and they were fashioned by the hand of man, and they represented the heart of man. That was the gods of Egypt, and they needed to be careful because they knew God had a plan, but they didn't know not yet what it was. All they knew that they wanted to move forward. 40 days. I mean, you talk about a long, long time, right? Come on. I mean, a long, long time. 40 whole days. Come on, and they didn't really even wait that long. We don't know how long it was, but I mean, in the midst of 40 days, I mean, we are done waiting on the Lord. We have been delayed. We will be delayed no longer. And they were, you know, just in limbo waiting. And they were tired of waiting. And so they became impatient. So they were waiting and they're impatient. And then they're also ignorant. They were. Come on, all they knew was they didn't want to wait any longer. They had no clue what God's plan was, and they were going to head somewhere, but they didn't even know where it was. They were ignorant. Ignorant that God had a plan. I'm telling you, a beautiful designed plan for them. Ignorant of how God wanted them to serve and worship and live and listen to me. And before they got to hear all about it, they had decided that they were done waiting and that they were going to do it their own way. And I'm telling you, this is not just a testimony to the spirit of man that he's going to just push forward and with his great fortitude make things happen. No. It is a blight on the reputation of man. That when we are done waiting on God, we're going to do it our own way, which was the way we were just comfortable doing it to begin with. Yeah. And as verse number 9 comes around, the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people. I know this people. Come on. I have seen them. And listen, friend, you need to be very aware God sees you and God knows you. He is just as aware of who you are as he was about who they were. And God had seen them and God knew them. And he says, this is the problem. It's not because they just have better ideas than I do. No, it's not because they just have a better plan than I have. It's not just because, well, I mean, you know, I have been delayed. I have been taking a little long. I mean, nearly 40 days. I mean, that is a long time to wait for, I mean, to wait for anything, you know, like if you're a child. 40 days for some is like, right? The older I get, and all my old age now, right? Since kids in college are, you know, born when I was graduating. So listen, I'm telling you, time just speeds up, doesn't it? Just speeds up. The more mature you get, the more older you get. It just seems like, time goes by faster. But in their immaturity, they were done waiting on God. And God reveals the problem in verse number 9. So I've seen this people. It is a stiff-necked people. It is a stiff-necked people. Not meaning that this is a people that is in need of a chiropractor and some essential oils. It's not always me. Put a little thieves oil behind the old ear there and you'll be... No. No, they were stiff-necked people, meaning they were abstinent and they were stubborn and they were desirous to not be moved, and they were solid in their place that they were at, and it was something that was not going to be changed. And in the same Greek word, this idea of being stiff-necked and being stubborn, it's also used in the book of Exodus in chapter number one and verse number four, when it talks about the hard bondage that they were under hard, rigorous bondage. And it's also used in chapter 6 and verse number 9, when it talks about the cruelty. They were under cruel bondage in the land of Egypt, and these people were stiff-necked. They were not going to be moved. It's as if they were still, if you understand this, under a bondage mentality, that they could not be moved, that they could not go any place, that they could not just of their own free will go from one place to another. No. There were people that were over them and masters that were over them that were going to prevent them from being moved because they were bound, and it would be very difficult for them to leave it. In fact, it was so difficult that they could not find their way out of bondage, that they cried so loudly unto the Lord and so desirous unto the Lord, that the Lord God of heaven heard their cry, and He had to come down and by a miraculous hand and by a great movement pulled them out of the land of Egypt. They were bound. It was something that was not going to change, but by the hand of God, it was something that was stubborn. They were stiff-necked. They were still bondmen in their minds. They were not going to be moved. It's no wonder why they decided that, listen, when God didn't move fast enough, it's not like they came up with something new. No. It's like they went back and did the same thing that they've been doing for the last 400 years. And they created them a calf and worshipped it and bowed themselves down unto that calf. While serving, Pharaoh acquired a stiff neck. No, come on. It was hard. It was cruel. And listen, if they were going to stay who they were going to have a stiff neck. And they were going to have to be hard. And they were going to have to hold on to their identity. While that required a stiff neck. Understand with me, the service of God requires submission. The service of God requires submission. The service of God is going to take patience. So, may I submit to you that the people of God, from this day to this day, have not changed very much. We haven't changed very much. That the reality is that men today and Christians today and those who would claim to know Christ as their Savior, listen to me, we still struggle with, from time to time, a stiff neck. We still, from time to time, we struggle with a stubborn heart. We would be able to identify with them, if you will, in a way, as a child of God, that sometimes we can grow impatient on God. I know none of you would, but I'm just talking about Christians in general. Come on. Say, no, preacher, I've never been impatient on God. I'm just content to wait. I'm just a go with the flow kind of person. I just enjoy seeing where God's going to take me, and it's just one big adventure, this Christian life. And I'm never sitting there going, I wonder when God's going to accomplish this, and I wonder when God's going to accomplish that, and I wonder when God's going to move this old burden out of my way, and I wonder when He's going to solve this problem that I've been praying for, and I wonder when He's going to answer my prayer. I'm telling you, we can get impatient, but I want you to understand the greatness and the majesty of God, who is God, the Lord God Jehovah. 420 years they cried out in bondage, and God did not forget where they were. I don't think 40 days was going to tax Him very much. Come on. I don't think 40 days was going to be like, where in the world could God be? I mean, where's Moses? How in the world could we be in this position out in the wilderness, you know, no longer bound, you know, with all the riches of Egypt? God, free me. How could this have happened? We had it so good when we were slaves under cruel, hard bondage. Come on. For 400 years and 40 days, God had to move a little quicker. No, I'm saying, I mean, for 400 years they cried, God answered, and he had to get moving in 40 days or else we're just going right back to where we came from. In our heart, in our mind, in our worship, we're going right back to where we came from. And we're going to do what we've always done. And let's be honest, from time to time, we have, as a child of God, trouble letting go of the old man and putting on the new. Come on, we have trouble. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't know that I need to put off that old behavior. And who is to call it sin? And who gets to judge whether or not this is right or this is wrong? And who gets to say, I mean, come on, whether drinking is wrong? And who gets to say whether, you know, going and, you know, I guess it's getting a little cool to go play out on the beach naked in your underwear. But, I mean, who gets to say that's wrong? Well, definitely not me. No, I don't get to make those judgments. I don't get to decide that for you, but listen to me, God does. God does. And there are some activities in our old nature and our old man that maybe you even enjoyed, and some things that you just, I mean, just have maybe some trouble putting off, and we stop and we go, well, I mean, who gets, I mean, come on, who gets to say whether or not marijuana's, you know, wrong for us or not, and who gets to say whether drugs are wrong for us or not, and who gets to say whether, you know, just, I mean, who gets to say whether or not I'm to be submissive or not? God does. He does. Say, well, wait a second, God doesn't say anything about marijuana in the Bible, and the state of Washington calls it legal. I know, but you are the temple of God, and God desires it to be holy. He desires that there be one spirit that dwells among it, and one spirit that lives in it, and you go ahead and put some drugs and alcohol into your body that are referred to as spirits by the world, not by this church, by the world. You go ahead and put those in your body, and you allow yourself to be controlled by those spirits. Then listen, friend, you are contrary to the Word of God. When He placed His Spirit in you, He desires for it to be the only spirit that you would be obedient to.
That's right. That's true.
So I don't know about that. I do know about that. I do know about that. Well, I mean, I just have some things that you think are of the flesh and I think they're not. And so, listen, stop trying to define what you think I think and what you think is right. Get into the Word of God for yourself and start defining what God's mind is on what you do and why you should. People all the time, well, I don't see what's wrong with it. Get in the Bible and show me what's right with it then. Stop determining that everybody will tell me what's wrong with it before I'll stop. You have a wrong spirit before a holy, righteous God, friend. You need to find out what God's mind is before you've determined and you're willing to just say, I'm going to just do it my own way. I'm going to do it how I wish. And you know what that is called? That is called a stiff-necked, stubborn heart. That's what it is. God show
me, prove to me black and white.
No. You get in the Word of God and you prove it to yourself.
Amen.
And I'm just telling you, there's a lot of different people that want to do it their way and they're unwilling to see it, look to the Word of God because, listen, they're not interested at all with what the Word of God has to say because they've already determined what they're going to do anyway. And if God wanted it different, then, you know, God's going to shine some light down from heaven like He did on the Apostle Paul and blind you for the rest of your life. Leave you maimed. That sounds fun. That God would have to work in such a way. God doesn't, friend, listen to me, work in my time frame all the time. He doesn't. God does not always work in the speed to which I would want Him to work. And God doesn't always move in the speed in which I would want Him to move. And God doesn't always bring to pass the way I feel. He doesn't. I got thoughts and I got ideas. I mean, I'm full of them. Just ask sometime. And I think, man, I'm going to make plans and we're going to try to make some accomplishments and we're going to see some things move forward. And listen, and if God wills it to be so, it'll happen. And friend, listen, if God just says, no, we're going to wait for 40 days, guess what we're going to do? We're going to wait for 40 days. And if we're unwilling to wait for 40 days, you realize what we're doing is we've just determined we're going to do it our way. We're going to make us a golden calf. And we're going to, listen, we're just going to have idolatry. And we're going to serve the gods of our own mind, of our own heart, and of our own thinking, and of our own hand. Well, why? Because we are unwilling to wait. We think we know better than God does. So I don't think I know better. I'm just, God hasn't said so I'm just going to charge it. No. You think that your plans and the way you would outline it and the way you would accomplish it is just as good as if God said so to be in the first place. And I'm submitting to you that God does have a purpose and God does have a plan. And until you know what that is, that the best thing for you to do is to sit still and to not move and to wait. No, I'm just saying that the thing to do is if you say, well, I mean, something needs to happen and something needs to be done, and we don't want to live in these tents for the next 40 years. You think that's a coincidence? That they wouldn't wait 40 days and they wouldn't follow God's plan, and then where did they find themselves wandering for 40 years? Living in tents, wandering around, nomadic people. In flux, uncertain. No, friend, listen to me. I'm telling you that God has a great plan and God has a great purpose. And God, listen, God, in who is God? He loves for you to walk according to His plan and according to His purpose. Come on, we just looked at this a few weeks ago in Romans in chapter 12, didn't we? We looked at, I mean, listen, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm telling you, God desires, and it's not some carrot that God's dangling out in front of. Come on, take another step. And you can never achieve it. You can never achieve it. He's not doing that with us. No. We can know what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God today. But listen to me. It might take that we have to be a little patient. Might be that you have to be a little patient. Young man, listen to me. You say, well, I've just heard of, my buddy's talking about, certain activities and things they've seen on the internet and magazines or whatever, if they're, whatever. And they've talked about stuff and it's intrigued you. And you think, well, what could be wrong with it? I mean, God created it. Yeah, no, He did for a specific relationship and for a specific time. And for a specific purpose, he absolutely did create it. But I'm telling you, you get ahead of God's plan and you can mess it up big time. And not only can you mess your life up, you can mess up the life of another individual. Yeah. You can. Some people say, well, I mean, I just think we just need, a bigger car and a bigger house and a bigger this and a bigger that, and you can just fill it in the whatever it is you think you need. And I'm just telling you, God's got better houses than you can buy. God's got better cars than you can buy. He absolutely does. Say, well, I mean, you obviously don't understand how the world system works. I mean, this is the 21st century, and if you want something, you just got to get a second job, and you got to have your wife work, and you got to have this, and you got. If you really want something, then you got to work for it. No. I believe in hard work, and I'm all for hard work. I believe if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But I also believe this, that God, who is God, has a better plan than you can design. And God's design, where I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be chauvinistic or out of touch with where we live in this reality. God designed that a woman would be a keeper at home. That doesn't mean that my wife is not industrious. She very much is. That doesn't mean she doesn't work hard. She probably, more than likely, I'm telling you, if we kept a schedule, works harder than I do. But we do have a different design by God. We do. We can start, I mean, we can go all day. The world says this, and the world says, times are changing, and science is discovering new things all the time. And listen to me, we're not here to follow science falsely so-called. We're here to follow the Word of God, and the Word of God, listen, it doesn't matter what kind of science they want to come up with and what they want to tell. God created male and female, created He them. Say, well, it just doesn't work with today's society. And that might not work for today's society. And it might be that people say, no, I'm going to have it my way, and I'm not willing to wait on God's way. Guess what? You get your results all day long. But I am telling you this. I'm telling you this. Listen. It is never the right time to move when you do not know the mind of God. It's never the right time to move. Somebody says, well, I'm upset with you, and I'm upset with the church, and I'm upset with this person, I'm upset with that person. I'm going to leave, I'm going to find a new church. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I'm just done here. Listen, I'm just telling you, it is never the right time to move. I'm not saying it's never that God would move. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this, it's never the right time to move when you don't know the mind of God. Well, I'm just angry at my husband. I'm upset with the kids, and I'm upset with all these different circumstances. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna start over. Listen, with who? Where? Well, I don't know, but it's got to be better than here. It's probably not. I still remind you, the grass is always greener on the other side of the septic tank. Amen. And listen, and you can go out and find the perfect man and find out this, that he's still the same old jerk that you were married to. And your problems will follow you, and your trials will follow you. But listen, I'm not going to be told to wait when I'm ready to. I'm just ready for something to happen. I don't know what it is, but I'm ready for something to happen. And you come up with some kind of plan that isn't God's plan. And listen to me. When we dismiss God's design without knowing what it is that God's trying to do, listen to me, we miss the perfect will of God. And if we would have simply waited, trusted in God, I tell you, up on the mountain, Moses is getting ready to come down. He's getting ready to come down. He's getting ready to tell us, listen, this is what God's doing. This is what God wants to accomplish. And this is how God desires to be worshipped. But friend, listen to me. Generally, finding the perfect plan and will of God for your life is going to require a little bit of patience on your heart, on your part. It's going to have to you telling your stubborn heart, your stiff neck, say, no, I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm going to let God be God, and I'm going to trust in God's time and in God's will and in God's plan. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.